Good morning. If you grew up like me with ADD or ADHD and OCD, or as my father would say, he's just nuts in the head, then you would understand that I like to jot down notes every so often just to remind myself of things. Or if I hear something on the radio or whatever, much to the chagrin of the people who are behind me as I'm driving. But you know, also I'll just write down, you know, thoughts that I'm thinking sometimes, just to, as a nice way to remember. Because if you ever tell me something after Mass, it's just whoop, whoop. You know, and that's why I always say to you, if you want me to remember, you need to email me. And so, but yesterday, if you really want to freak people out, well, you can't do it, but I can. Write down notes in the middle of their confession back in the confessional. And they're going to think you're using it in the homily. And so, but this is what I was thinking, because people have brought this to me over the last couple of months, and they go, oh, Father, you need to say anything. Always remember this, as they told us in seminary, there's always a Judas amongst you, and so they'll tell on you all the time, but and it's this, okay? And I'm going to just make a couple quick announcements, and it's this, and I'd make it at the end of the Mass, but you'll understand why I can't. Please, out of consideration of the people of God, the people in this parish, and for God himself, please, 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 arrive to Mass before it begins and not after it begins. But also, stay until the very end. That means when the song ends and I'm outside, I don't need a fullback to lead me out. I'm okay. My servers do a good job. If you will stay till the end of Mass, I know you're anxious to go out and spread the gospel. But remember, when you receive the Eucharist, you are a living, walking tabernacle. Stay here. And I know some big churches, they don't care, but I do. And so please, out of respect for God and also respect for the people around you, especially the young people, be a good example. Come early, stay until the end. And also, let's refrain from talking in the church. It's beginning to become a growing phenomenon here. I know you're very friendly people, but let's keep the conversations outside. Remember, this is Christ in the tabernacle right here. He's here all the time waiting for you to speak to him. And this is what I was going to say, but Scott will do the announcements today. When you're coming up for communion, I usually wait until Corpus Christi to give this quick talk, but I'm going to give it quickly anyway because it's kind of freaking me out lately. It's just simple. I'll tell you the freak out part in a second. But when you receive our Lord in the Eucharist, when you come forward, remember, put your hand over hand like this. You're making a cross. You with me? You're making, and then you can kind of cradle it like this to make a throne to receive the Lord of Lords. Extend your hand over the paten. This is a paten, okay? And the servers will hold it. If you'll extend your hand over the paten, here, Trey. If you'll do that for me, don't put your hands like this. Don't put your hands like this. I don't know what's going on at this time. And please, whatever you do, don't come forward like this. I don't know what you... is that dealer's choice? I don't know what's going on. And so... And lastly, and this is the part that you'll agree with me once I tell you this, because I've told it to you before, but you're going to agree with me. All these problems I have, and I'm also a bit of a germaphobe. And so it's this. Let me put the host on your tongue. Take my hand away. Then bring it back. Do not lick my fingers. It is so gross. That's why I tell you this. That's why some guy said to me after Mass, this last Mass, because I said the same thing the 9 o'clock. And I said to the 9 o'clock Mass, you know, I said the exact same thing. This guy came up and says, I'm new to the area. I just moved here. Are there any Catholic churches around here? And I said, no, not for miles and miles. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's gospel reading from St. Matthew, we hear about the temptations of Jesus Christ. We hear how the Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert and he remained there 40 days, tempted by Satan. And if you're like me, I can't think of anything more dreadful or depressing than to be out into the desert, especially if I'm being tempted by Satan. But that's exactly what our Lord did. That's what he did for us. He went out into the desert for 40 days to take on all the temptations, all the sins of the world, to show us that with God, we can overcome any obstacle or any sin that may be plaguing us. But in the first reading from the book of Genesis, we read about our original parents, Adam and Eve, who took another route. That without God's help, we will fail every single time. Now, some people like to believe there is no Satan. There is only God out there. And let me tell you something. There's a wonderful book by C.S. Lewis called The Screwtape Letters. And in it, he writes, one of the devil's most evil ploy against humanity is not only to convince them that there is a God, but more importantly, to try and convince us that there is no devil. And how many times have you heard this argument? If he truly were God, if he truly were a loving God, he would send no one to hell. Did you ever stop and wonder, after hearing that question, who or what planted that particular question in this person's mind? Was it free will or was it Satan? For after all, recall the refrain of Satan in today's gospel reading. If you are the Son of Man, if you are God, my friends, one of the most deadly sins that Satan uses against humanity from the beginning of time is the sin of doubt. To plant that seed of doubt into our minds, St. Francis de Sales once wrote, "Doubt is the first temptation of the enemy, which presents to those who has resolved to serve God. But once they see what holiness requires, they think to themselves, 'I will never be able to do that.'" My brothers and sisters in Christ, we're only 4 days into Lent. But how many of us have thought over these last 4 days? How many of us considered what we have either given up or resolved to take on? How many of us have stopped to think just for a moment, "I can't do this. I'll never be strong enough to make it to Easter"? My friends, that is the sin of doubt. Of course, you can do anything you resolve to do with God over these next 40 days. Doubt is the worst sin because it tries to use logic, common sense, and even close friends and relatives to try and convince us what we believe in is not real and what we are fighting for is not worth it. But let me remind you that with Christ we can overcome any temptation or sin, but without him, and left to our own devices and our own arrogance, we will fail every single time. The truth is, doubt has destroyed more dreams, more marriages, and more religious vocations than all the other sins combined. How is this possible? Because people have refused to do what Jesus did out in the desert today, and that is take God with them in every single instant, to put Christ first in our lives. No, this will not take away bad things from happening to us, but it will stop bad things from destroying us. One of the saddest questions I've received over my nearly 18 years of a priesthood, and I hear it time and time again, is this: "Father, do you really think God could forgive me? Do you really think God could forgive me of this sin I have committed? And do you really think God could honestly love a sinner like me?" Well, the honest truth is, I will tell you what I tell them. If he could not love us and forgive us, then he would not be God. My friends, no matter who you are, or what you have done, or where you have been, always remember this. He loves you. He loves you and he wants you to listen to his voice. He wants you to put away the fear and the shame that you are carrying with you for something you did either recently or long ago. He wants you to forgive yourself and take that leap of faith during this Lenten time. Reconcile him within the confessional where hope and forgiveness is eternal. My brothers and sisters in Christ, every single day, Jesus whispers in our ear if we're only willing to listen. He whispers in our ears, you are my child. You are a beloved chosen one of God, and I could never forgive you. I could never forget you. Doubt no longer, but believe. My friends, we need to turn down the volume. We need to turn down the volume on those people or those thoughts that we get in the middle of the night that tell us this world is doomed, life is helpless, or worse yet, when we tell ourselves we are hopeless. And please do not give in to the pain or the doubt, whatever you're going through at this time. Remember, no matter what's going on in your life or in a loved one's life, God is in charge, and he has a plan. He has a plan for each and every one of us, even if it makes no sense to us at this time. Recall, at the foot of the cross, for the followers of Jesus Christ, the crucifix made absolutely no sense to them on Good Friday. It only made sense on Easter Sunday. Remember this, your Easter Sunday, no matter what you're going through, your Easter Sunday awaits you. You have not been forgotten. And as we enter into this holy 40 days of Lent, similar to those 40 days that Jesus spent in the desert, let's make this time a time of prayer, a time of renewal, but most of all, let's make this a time of hope. Let's pledge to become more positive and more faithful. Let us reach out to those people who are in pain, and let's reach out to those people who need to see the face of Christ. This Lenten season, let us promise ourselves that we will no longer listen to the voice of doubt, but rather, we will only listen. We will only listen to the voice of Jesus who tells us each and every day, you are my child. You are a holy chosen one of God. I could never forget you. Doubt no longer, but believe. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.